How to make somebody feel worthless by doing nothing at all. I did that. I've done that several times in my life. It's actually not funny. I actually did that to people that I cared about. Someone wrote to me and said that he was married. I think it was a man. He said he was married and he's long been separated from this person. And his current relationship, his current partner said, just get it over with, get a divorce so we can live our lives and be happy. And so some time went by, several months, and this new partner, she came to him and said, what is the progress? What have you done? What steps have you taken to get a divorce? And he said, I didn't make any progress. And so since then, she's been distant and she's been, I'm going to guess, hurt because he didn't prioritize her. This is how you make somebody feel worthless without doing anything at all. You don't prioritize the person that you care about. And they feel that. The person that you don't or won't not even prioritize, but take into account and consider their thoughts, their emotions, and then move forward on something that you said you would do. When you don't do that, it gets noticed and it compounds. I will do this for you, or I will do this thing. It gets noticed when you don't, and it compounds when time goes on. And so he is writing to me saying, is time the only thing that will heal this? And I'm going to say, not necessarily. It could. You could finally get married to her and everything will be great. Or it will be something that she holds on to. How do you get past that? That's a good question. How do you make someone feel worthy? How do you show them that they are worthy to you? What happens is we get into our own laziness sometimes, or procrastination. And we aren't necessarily being inconsiderate or selfish, but we might be being lazy. We might be being ourselves, because I'll speak from my own experience. I'm the kind of person that believes what is here today will probably be here tomorrow, so I'll get to it tomorrow. I'm also the kind of person that likes to jump on things and do things right away. I'm both. But there are things like a relationship, for example. My partner and I, Asha and I, have been together almost 10 years now. And just, when was it? Not even a year ago. I said, hey, we're getting married. I asked her a year ago, or almost a year ago, to marry me. And I told the story last year. I said that I waited to ask her because she was having a lot of work done in her mouth. She had two missing teeth and she wouldn't smile. I mean, she would, but she would hide her teeth with her fingers a lot or smile with her mouth closed. And so I didn't want to ask her and have all these pictures or the selfies that we would take and other people would take pictures of us. I didn't want to ask her because I knew she wouldn't smile for the pictures and she would feel uncomfortable. And she was actually starting to get upset that I hadn't, you know, I took so long and I hadn't asked her. She was telling her friends, she told me this later. She was telling her friends that I don't know if he's ever going to ask. Maybe this is just something that isn't important to him. And that really hurt. I mean, not that she was trying to hurt me, but it hurt me thinking, oh my God, it must have hurt her for having to wait so long. And yeah, you could say, well, you could have asked her years ago. And we talked about that too. We've both been married before and we were both pretty comfortable just being committed and being in a relationship. And it felt good. And so it never really came up until it came up. And then when it came up, I said, okay, well, this is real. You really do want to marry, and I do too. Let's do this, but let me, you know, prepare. Let me set this up. I want to be able to ask you the right way. And so as we were going through that, she was starting to get all this oral surgery, and it was a lot of stress. It was a lot of trauma for her. And I didn't think it would be a good idea to ask her in between all these things going on. Or maybe it would. I don't know. But that's not even my point. My point is it took so long in her mind, and it was a long time, but in her mind it took so long that she started feeling not worth marrying. And I'm putting words in her mouth, but some of that is true because we had conversations before. But imagine you don't feel worthy to the person that is supposed to be the one who wants to spend the rest of their life with you, or to another person that's supposed to love you no matter what, like family. When you do nothing for someone else, they may not feel worthy. And I'm not saying that everyone expects you to do anything. But when she said she was upset, and she told her friend that maybe I'm not that kind of guy, and maybe this she'll just have to settle for the person I am. Wow, that really hurt. And I said, you don't understand. I've been planning this for years. I've been thinking about it for years, but you were going through all these surgeries. And she backs off and she says, I know, you're right. But at the same time, it was so long, and it's hard. It's hard to reconcile all these thoughts. But I did have these plans, and they didn't even plan out what I was planning. They didn't plan out right. And I ended up asking her in a different way, which I thought was sweet and sort of romantic, but maybe it wasn't. She remembers it. She remembered it was cute. And my mom was there, and my sister was there, two of my favorite people. And then we were engaged. And I remember after I asked her at this restaurant, we came outside, and she was smiling for these pictures. She was so happy. We were both so happy. We posted it on Facebook on our timelines, and it was wonderful. And I was so grateful I waited, even though there was some emotional challenges with that, especially for her. I mean, in my mind, I knew what I was going to do. I knew what was going to happen. But in her mind, she's thinking, wow, he hasn't asked me in all this time. Maybe he's not that kind of guy. Maybe he really doesn't want to marry me. Maybe I'm not marriage material. And that's an unfair thing to say, because I really don't think she believes that about herself. But I'm saying that because of the person who wrote to me. That's what happens in some people's minds. They think they're not good enough or smart enough or attractive enough for the other person, depending on the situation, depending on the friendship or the romance or the family situation. They may not think they're good enough. They may not think they're worth having in the other person's life. And so that will really hit the self-esteem and the self-worth. That will really start to damage some people emotionally, damage them. And it could turn into a no way back scenario. You could go too far, and now there's no way back because their heart has been hurt to the point where they might actually believe that if they didn't push you to do it, you may not have done it. And that comes right back to self-worth and self-esteem. And when you show somebody how worthy they are and how wonderful they are to you by doing nothing, they might feel like nothing to you. They might feel worthless to you. They might feel like if they don't tell you to do something, you won't do it. And they won't attribute it to your procrastination or your laziness or the way you are. They'll attribute it to themselves. And I'm not talking about everyone. Not everyone just automatically assumes it's themselves, but this can happen. This can and does happen a lot. just some of the things that I've promised Asha to do around the house. Hey, I'm going to do that thing. You said you wanted that thing done. I'm going to do it. 3 years later, it's not done. Why isn't it done? And I finally said, this is one of our tiny little solutions. I finally said, you know, you asked me to do a lot, and I'm not complaining. We really have healthy conversations. This isn't what it sounds like. But I told her, you asked me to do a lot. And so I have all these things in my head, and you have all these things in our digital to-do list on our computers. I said, I want a whiteboard. I want a whiteboard that I can write down things in the priority that you want them done. Because I'm a handy guy. I can build things and stuff like that. And I love doing it. And so it's not like I'm thinking, oh, she wants me to do something else. No, I love doing almost everything she asks because it improves the house. It makes her happy. It makes me happy. It really moves us in a forward direction. But there's like 30 things on the list. And I'm still working on the third one because I finally got the other two done. And the third one is a massive retaining wall in the front of our house. And that takes time. But if I do any of these other things, it's going to take time away from what I'm working on now. And so I said, I want a whiteboard. And then a couple weeks ago, she comes home from Home Depot and says, look what I got you. And it was just a raw piece of whiteboard, the whiteboard material. And I said, yes, yay, thank you so much. I was happy. And I immediately installed it right next to my desk in the basement. I have a desk next to my work, my wood shop, my workshop, whatever. And I installed that. And the next few days, I got some markers at some office supply store. And I put down two things. The first was the retaining wall that I'm going to finish probably today, actually, when I'm done recording. I got one little piece left. That's it. Very proud of it. And she helped. I mean, we both did the wall, but I had all the heavy lifting and the woodwork. But I'm going to finish that today, and I'm going to be able to cross that off my list. And the very second thing is the next thing on my list, and the very third thing is the one she wants done. So now I have a system that she can see. She can see what the next thing on the list is. This is going to be so freeing, liberating to us, because she can come down and look at it and say, oh, he's got to fix that little hole in the wall. That's next. And if she says, look, I really need something prioritized, I want you to do that first, then I can go down to the whiteboard, erase number two, and put the next thing, or number six, whatever I'm on, and put the next thing. And she'll see it. She can go down and see it every time. It prevents arguments. It prevents conversations that can get uncomfortable because it's right there. It's almost like a contract. No, that's on the contract. There's the contract. We don't have to worry about it anymore because it's right there. Because one of the things I always would say to her is, I need to stop doing this one thing to do that thing. And one of her famous retorts is, it'll only take you 5 minutes. It'll only take you 5 minutes to do that thing. Why don't you just do it and then get back to your other stuff? And I have to remind her that nothing takes 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes in your mind. In your mind, the wood's already cut. You don't have to fire up the air compressor. You don't have to do the measurements. None of that is in your mind. And that's being unfair because maybe it is. But in her mind, everything's done in 5 minutes. In my mind, I'm thinking just the preparation alone is going to take a half an hour to an hour. And then I have to actually think and do some stuff and do the project. And then every time I start the project, this happens every time, I swear, every time I start a project, it requires a branch into another project. Like, okay, oh great, I only have 5 screws left. I have to go to Home Depot. That's another project. Buy those screws and come back. And then I start to screw it. Oh, I split the wood. Oh, of course I split the wood. Or Maybe it's an electrical thing. Oh, I can't do this electrical work today because the switch I have doesn't work and I'll have to buy a new switch. And now I see that there's a crack behind the wall and I've got to fix that crack. There's so much that occurs when you start a house project that you probably understand. So I tell her every project has another project inside of it. So it's not just 5 minutes. So we now understand, after being at our place for like 6 years now, we understand that everything we do around here is not a 5 minute job. And now that we have the whiteboard, prioritizing things is a wonderful way to do it because we both see it. It's not in my mind. It's not in her mind. There's no doubt. There's no question. What needs to be done next is on the board. And one of the most important points about what I'm talking about right now is that I'm going to prioritize what needs to be done next before I do anything that might seem like I'm enjoying my time alone. This isn't advice. I'm not telling you to do this yourself, but here's the thing. I value her. And if she wants something done and I put it on my list and I'm sitting there doing something else, reading while this other thing is not getting done, she's going to feel maybe devalued. Maybe she won't. Maybe she'll feel fine and she'll say like, hey, you know how to get balance in your life. I want that too. So I'm working on that too, which we've had that conversation. But I never want her to look over at me and say, you're doing nothing right now. And we have this list, and that makes her sound like a nag. That's not how it is at all, at all. But I never want her to feel devalued, and I also want to complete these projects because it's going to be good for both of us, but especially, and this is the most important part, she's going to feel like she's worth doing these things for. That makes me feel good, even saying it. I love doing things for her, even if it's for both of us or just for the house, which is, of course, for both of us. But when I do something, when I finish a project, her face beams. She is so happy and she feels so loved. I think it's a special feeling when someone will prioritize you over something else or someone else. That's a special feeling when you can give that gift to someone, that it changes their world. It changes your world because the happier the people that are in your life, the happier they are, the happier you are because they're happy to be around people who love them like that and support them like that. What makes them happy, it really affects your life in a positive way. Most people, some people, they may not care, but most people in your life, when you do something that makes them happy and makes them feel worthy, it comes back. It really does. I've learned that. It really comes back to me. And so I'm going to answer this person's question who asked, is it just a matter of time or is there anything that I can do to help her feel special again, to help her not be upset with me? We're kind of off and on right now. We're distanced from each other. And my answer is yes, but it has to be such a priority of her over you. It has to be so selfless. It has to be so selfless and so thoughtful that it's almost a comparison or overrides what has already happened. That doesn't get you out of the doghouse. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have asked sooner because she requested it. She suggested it. She has hinted at it. She has done this for who knows how long. So she already feels devalued. And this is my opinion, but she already feels devalued. She feels like she's not worth marrying. She feels like you are still connected to this other person that you should have disconnected from, mainly for that principle. Like, you shouldn't be connected to that person in a romantic way, even though there probably was no romantic feeling, but being married to someone, that's a romantic contract, and that contract is still valid. How does that make her feel? I'm helping you empathize right now. That's how it makes her feel. That contract that you had with somebody else, that romantic contract, was still valid to her. So she's number two. That's how it makes her feel. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to give you some empathetic perspective so that you can understand where she is and why she still feels this way. Because she probably thinks that if she didn't hint, if she didn't nudge, if she didn't try to push you into getting a divorce, that you probably never would have. And that may be the way you are. Maybe you didn't think about it because you don't care. Like, my marriage is over. It doesn't really matter. It's not really affecting us now. It doesn't matter. It's just, you know, that's another life ago. And now I'm with you and I'm all about you. I don't even think about that other life. I'm with you. But to her, she's number two. She doesn't feel like you're 100% there because you have this, what I like to call, energetic tendril. Still connected to the past, still connected to another person that you were with that you made a commitment to back then, and you're still committed in a way because that contract still exists. And so here we have somebody that wants you to invest all of you into her, and you're still connected and invested, even though it may not feel that way. But to her, that's what she sees. It exists. And because that connection, that romantic contract still exists, and because she told you this is what she wanted, and she's wondering why you aren't doing it, because aren't I important? That's where she probably has been for a long time. Aren't I important enough to do this as soon as possible? I'm empathizing with you too, because this is where I was. This is what Asha felt. Aren't I important enough to do this sooner? Does it matter? Do we have to go through all these years before we get to this point? It's so tough when maybe you are the type of person that will get to it eventually, and you know you will. I'm that type of person. I'll get to it eventually. I know I will. And at the same time, I'm the type of person that makes a decision and takes action right away. So I know it's in me, but did I prioritize what she really wanted? And, you know, to be fair, did I understand how important it was to her, that it was actually hurting her that I wasn't in that space? And I didn't know it was hurting her. And of course, hindsight is 20/20. So how would you, this is what you were asking, how would you make up for that? How do you do something so grand in her eyes that it doesn't necessarily erase the past, but it creates a new future, something that she can put more attention on in the present and in the future than having to revert back to the past? And that's where her mind goes. That's the problem, right? Her mind is stuck in that past that you never made happen. So now she feels like if she never pushed you to do it, that maybe you never would have done it, and that makes her feel less important to you. So how can you change that? I mean, you can't change anyone. You can't change their mind. But I believe it involves sacrifice. And hear me out. I believe it involves something that you find important, find valuable, that you are willing to give up to show her that she is more important than anything. And this might be controversial. Somebody might say, no, you shouldn't do that. But I think that when we screwed up that bad, it's important to go in the opposite direction and say, hey, I screwed up and I never want to do that again because I love you more than anything. And so this is what I did. That is something that you'll have to figure out. This is what I did. What's so important to you that giving it up shows her that you are really serious? Again, this is not advice. This is something that I myself have thought of, because I don't want my partner to think that she is of lower importance than anything else in my life. So I'm willing to go the distance. I'm willing to take action today and show her that she is the most important thing in my life. And that might mean I sacrifice something. Now, sacrifice is a very strong word. I don't necessarily mean you sacrifice. I just mean you become selfless and you think about nothing but her, even if it takes your time, your energy, your money, because it's really about her now. This is about her. You have neglected her in some ways here. So now we've got to balance things. We need to balance the scales. And I know this sounds manipulative. It sounds like you're just trying to make up for something. What you're doing, though, is you're reaching in and figuring out how you truly feel about someone. That's really where I'm going. How do I truly feel about Asha? Oh my God, I want to take her on a cruise. I'm going to surprise her. Don't tell her. But I'm going to surprise her. And I think we're going to have a blast. And that kind of sacrifice is a sacrifice of money and time. And that isn't something that I normally do. That is a huge thing for me to do that, because I really suck at scheduling. I'm not that good at organizing future events. I'm pretty good at present moment stuff. Okay, let's do this now. But I'm not very good at organizing the future. And it's weird when I say that, but it's true. I'm not very good at organizing future events like our friends. There's a couple that we know, and he was able to organize all her friends for a birthday party. And I can't even begin to think of the logistics of that. He organized the time, the place, all the friends. I mean, got their phone numbers, and I don't know how he did that. Somebody might say, that sounds easy. You just call them up and say, we're going to meet at this time. Let's do it. To me, it's like anxiety-inducing. Not really, but somewhat. How do I even begin to think like that? My brain doesn't work in that way. I could accomplish it, for sure. And if I really wanted it to happen, I'm going to do it. But it doesn't come naturally. It would definitely take extra effort, but that's part of the sacrifice, right? Oh, it's going to take me days to figure out, and I got to hunt down all these people. Part of the sacrifice. So sacrifice, yes, it's a strong word, but I'm hoping that you understand the gist of what I'm saying. Because if you get that, then perhaps you can close the distance between you. Because she needs to know that what you're doing, what you're going to do, is totally for her benefit and doesn't benefit you at all. That doesn't mean it won't. I'm just saying it really does show that you want to see her happy. My definition of love is supporting someone's happiness. So how can we get there? How can we get to that point where they are happy? Yes, we can support their choices. We can support their path, whatever path they take to make themselves happy. But what if that path is now different from the path you're on? Like, she seems like she's on a slightly different path and she's still upset about what happened. So your sacrifice might be prioritizing her above almost everything else. You know, you might need to reorganize your life. You might need to rethink how you think of things. I mean, I remember when I used to tell my wife when I was married a while back that I'm working on it. I used to use those words. I'm working on it, because I was highly judgmental and critical of her. I was working on my behaviors, and I believed I was. I'm working on it. And then she would ask months or, you know, a year later. I told her, yeah, definitely, I need to work on that. I'm working on it. I was so infamous for that line. I'm working on it. That's what I'm working on. I'm working on it. But I never did. I never really got anywhere. If I truly was working on it, I would have called a therapist right away and made an appointment. That would have been working on it. But it was a procrastination. I can only see that clearly now, but looking back, that was a procrastination. If I was really working on it, if I really cared about her happiness, then I would have worked on it that day and all night and the next day, and then fell asleep because I passed out because I stayed up the night before. And then I would work on it the next day and I would do everything possible. And I would tell her, okay, this is what I've discovered. And I need to work on this even more. I would give her updates. I would let her know that she is my priority. And so I would sacrifice a lot of my own personal time, a lot of my own balance in my life, because that should have been the most important thing that I should have been focused on. So I hope you are reading between the lines and reading the lines that I'm giving you right now to the person who wrote. Thank you for sharing that. And I hope you got something from this episode today. Good luck with that. And thanks for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank our patrons that support the program financially. I appreciate you. I'm so grateful for you. You definitely make my day every time I see your names pop up in my email. I see everyone that contributes to the show. And I want to thank Christina. Yes, Christina with a Y. I'll leave it to the audience to guess where the Y is. I'm so grateful. Thank you for joining the patron program and contributing to the show. I am touched and I appreciate all of you. If you find value in the show and you want to give back, head over to moretob.com and there are options to do that over there. And for a show on how to navigate difficult relationships, I talk about that over here, but I talk about the more difficult stuff over at loveandabuse.com. And if you know you're the difficult one in the relationship, maybe your emotional triggers are causing some relationship difficulties like I used to do for many years and many relationships, unfortunately. I help people heal from that. I help people stop being emotionally abusive over at healedbeing.com. And with that, always keep your mind open because that's how you make the best decisions. And when you're firm in your decisions and you take action, that's how you create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.